This is the Physical Activity Researcher Podcast, a podcast for researchers of sedentary behavior, physical activity, and sports. Join for a relaxed dialogue about research design, practicalities, and, well, anything related to research. Learn from your fellow researchers useful and relevant information that does not fit into formal content and limited space of scientific publications. And here is your host, researcher and entrepreneur, Olli Tikkanen.
Welcome, everyone. So in this episode, we are discussing brain and exercise. And this is the first episode of our mini-series, Active Brain. And we have a brilliant guest for this episode. Our guest is working as research group leader in University of Basel in Switzerland. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome our guest, Dr. Sebastian Ludica. Welcome, Sebastian. It's an honor to have you in the podcast.
Thank you for the invitation to be part of the podcast.
Yeah, great to have you. So could you tell maybe a little bit about your shortly about your research career and the research you've been doing and the research groups you are part of?
Yeah, sure. So I did my PhD in Germany, in Switzerland. So during my PhD, I was investigating the effects of exercise on brain activity during exercise. So we usually tend to measure brain activity outside exercise, and people started to do this when technique got better. So like 10, 20 years ago, there were a few experiments where they did brain activity recordings during exercise just to find out what kind of central fatigue can we see in the signal and just to understand how fatigue works. And actually, I changed my direction of research. Yeah, I'll come to this later. So when I was in Germany, I studied in Halle, in the eastern part of Germany, and they were doing this kind of research where we are really looking at the brain's response to exercise and if we can change it over a longer period of training. So during that time, it was quite difficult because you can imagine we had cyclists on a cycling ergometer and we had brain recordings during cycling, so they had to remain in a very still position. Mm-hmm. And then we were trying to find out after they improved on their fitness level, if there's also a change brain response during the exercise. And we found out that actually they were more efficient. That means they had the same kind of power, but with lower brain activity. And it was not special to any region. It was like an overall diminished activity. So you would say that there's sign of neuroefficiency. And after I finished my PhD, I had the feeling that I do not want to go further into details with exercise and training, but more like how can we use what I saw more on a health perspective. And that's why I went to Basel, because they're looking for somebody that actually investigates the effects of exercise on cognition and cognitive function in children especially. And I thought that's a good opportunity for me. And so I changed my research doing like a combination of brain activity assessments during cognitive tasks and not longer during exercise. So I still find that this is quite interesting. But for me, I see more practical relevance when it comes to children health in general, looking at cognitive effects and also what's the mechanism behind it. I still use the information that I gathered from my PhD. I've slightly moved into a different direction.
Yeah, sounds very interesting. Maybe let's talk a little bit about the during exercise, the brain activity, and then move to more to your current one. So I assume you were measuring EEG, and how do you see it during exercise? Like, is it more about the effort that when you, for example, in a cycling ergometer and you need to start pushing, is it that you see the changes then? Or what do you actually see from the EEG during exercise? Like, simple question, but I think many of the listeners don't probably know it.
Yeah, I mean, when you use, so first of all, you're correct. We were using the EEG, and the research that are familiar with the technique, they know that there are plenty of parameters that you can look at. And at that time, we were looking at the brain rhythms or brain waves in specific frequency bands like alpha bands, beta bands, and so on. And you just know that when there's change in the beta band, this probably means activity when it increases, and it's the other way. So we were looking at this kind of parameters. And when we were looking at, so there's two things. First of all, the assessment of the recording over the exercise session. So that means what happens within a session. And then the training effect, for example, training of cyclists over 4 weeks. And what does the training do with the brain rhythm? So I will start with the within session changes. Yeah. So what we typically observe is that there's a kind of inverted U curve. So that means when you start the exercise, then the brain activity goes up. And then you have a peak like in the middle of exercise. And when you continue to exercise at submaximal level, then it will also decrease from a certain point. And we interpreted this as a kind of central fatigue. So you can really see that over time, either with increased intensity or with increased time, you will see like a drop in brain activity. And when we were looking at the effects of training, then we saw that the overall brain activity was lower and we could not detect the inverted U curve anymore. So probably that means they were had a higher neural efficiency. So the baseline activity was lower and they had no change toward like the inverted U. So probably they reserved their resources so that there was no central fatigue.
Yes, good points. And then I wanted to ask...
Excuse me. Could I ask one question before you?
Yeah. Sir, please go on.
Do you work with children and physical activity? Okay, then you should listen to us. We wanted to tell you about this polar bear animation that is so cool. And we understood from his funny explanations why humans and polar bears shouldn't sit all day. Fibian device, it is an accelerator. And I could tell you all the specs. But you just need to know it measures accurately sedentary behavior and physical activity. And is scientifically validated. But most importantly, using it feels like magic. Yeah, like magic. Ding dong done. So, learn more at fibian.com/kids. Please click it, because it's important that kids all over the world can learn from polar bear. That's so awesome. Mom, can we have a polar bear as a pet? Please, Mom?
And when we are talking about kind of the EEG, does the main activity come from the motor cortex? Or what parts of the brain are kind of, you said that there's a central fatigue, for example, which parts, if you can see it from the EEG, which parts are getting fatigued?
Yeah, that's really difficult to say because at that time, that's 9 to 10 years ago, we were looking at different regions, of course. But it was not restricted to the motor cortex. It was like more a general change in activity. And when we were looking specifically at different regions, then actually probably the prefrontal cortex has had the most pronounced decrease in activity.
Yeah. So is your conclusion kind of that we just get kind of something general from the EEG, at least 10 years ago with the technologies, and we don't fully know where does it come from? We can just see that maybe there's inverted U. When you train more, you can not have it, and something happens, but we don't really know what.
So I would say that the most important insights from that time, or from my PhD, would be that there's adaptation on brain level to the exercise, and when fitness changes, you can also see that the brain activity during the task changes. And yeah, I would say probably that it has something to do with sensory fatigue, but it could also be something different. But I know that there were some follow-up studies from our side, but from the groups. And I think that this kind of thinking of neural efficiency as something that is quite trendy. And you can also observe this in different kind of sports. I mean, we were looking at cycling because in cycling, you have the chance to do EEG recordings because they have still position. I know that there are some experiments during walking and things like that. But at that time, it was even quite difficult to have good data during cycling.
Yeah, and maybe a little question about the test that you were using, like what was the kind of the protocol? And maybe just asking this because I know from the strength training studies that if you do like neural strength training, like Billy maximum load, maybe 1 to 3 repetitions, if you do it too much, your neural system will get really easily fatigued, overtrained. So just linking to that, was it like more power or what was the test that you used?
So that's a really good question because the changes always depend on the paradigm you use. And we were not so focused on changes in intensity and things like that. We were looking at cadence, that means pedaling frequency.
Yeah.
And so we were looking at changes with the frequency. So we had a test where the participant had 60, started with pedaling frequency of 60, then for 5 minutes, then 90, then 120, and so on. And we repeated these steps again and again. So we were looking at the changes from frequency. And also the training was about frequency. So we had 3 groups. One group doing a low cadence training at 60 revolutions. And then we had a high cadence group training at more than 120 revolutions. Right. Then we had a comparison group just doing like a basic frequency manipulations. That's the interesting thing that you can see. The neural adaptation was the highest in the high pedaling frequency group, probably because they had a much more feedback and feed forward mechanisms involved when you have the high pedaling frequency. And for them, they were used to training at these high pedaling frequencies. And when they did the lower ones, they were really like low effort from the brain.
Thanks for joining us this week on Physical Activity Researcher Podcast. If you like the show, make sure you never miss an episode by subscribing or following the show on Twitter. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. Thank you for your support. If you found value in the show, we would really appreciate a rating on Apple Podcasts or whichever app you're using. Or if you would, in a real old school way, simply tell a friend about the show. It would be a great help for us. We have a fantastic lineup of guests for forthcoming episodes, so be sure to tune in. Thank you all for your support and have a great day.